Are you ready to lift your life to another level? Your best days are ahead of you, and opportunity is knocking at your door daily. And your time for success in life is now. Welcome to the Ideal Life Podcast. Get ready to empower your dreams and take over your destiny. Now, here is your life coach, author, and motivational speaker, Shane Warren.
Hey guys, welcome to The Bend. It's so good to have you join me today. I know that this video that you just watched is very, very moving. And the reason that I'm doing this today is for two reasons. Number one, this week our president stood before the nation and told our nation that we had very difficult days that were going to be before us over the next week or so, where potentially thousands upon thousands of people could be lose their lives, rather, to the coronavirus. We're believing against that. And the reason we've come together today is I'm calling right now a corporate prayer meeting for everybody who's watching me. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe what the Word of God says. In fact, this morning, I'm going to ask you to take your Bible out. And we're going to get right into the Word of God. And as you're taking your Bible out, I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. Today, we're going to read that very world-famous scripture that everybody quotes all the time. Even people who aren't in church quote this passage of scripture. And then what we're going to do is at the end of our time together, we're going to take communion. I encouraged all of you who attend The Bend, and even those of you who are watching me right now, that you would go and get you something to take communion with. I don't care if it's grape juice and crackers, whatever it is, you get something that you can take communion. And you and I are going to share in the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because we're coming into the Passover season. Passover was that wonderful celebration of where the children of Israel were in bondage for 400 years in Egypt, and then God brought them out. But right before He brought them out, the angel of death came through, and as He did, the Israelites had put the blood of the spotless lamb on the doorposts of houses, and death could not visit those homes. I'm believing today that when I get at the end of this message, that you and I are going to partake of communion together, and symbolically we are going to, by faith, put the blood of the spotless lamb of the Son of God who was slain for you and me on the doorpost of our lives and on the doorpost of our homes. And we're going to believe that when we do that, that this virus is not going to be able to come in our house. And as Psalms 91 says, no plague or no disease will come near our house. We're believing that today. So today, as I'm preaching the Word of God, I also want you to know that I believe that we can join together right now in the power of prayer and touch and agree on your needs. So as I'm preaching today, in the comments below, I want you to post your prayer request or your needs, whatever you're struggling with. We want to pray with you and believe God for your miracle. The Bible says two is better than one. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. I really do believe that when we touch and agree, whatever we ask in the name of Jesus shall be done. So right now, I'm encouraging you, go ahead and post in the comments below. We have four or five prayer team members who are manning and watching the comments below, and they're going to be praying over your needs. They'll even be replying to your comments, because even though we're social distancing, we don't believe in kingdom distancing. And I believe the power of God that is right here in this old barn that we called The Bend, where we started our church, is right there available for you. So right now, I want to encourage you, post and let us pray with you. Well, take your Bible out with me today and go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I want to read to you three verses of Scripture, verse 14, 15, and 16. Now, before I get into this, don't you dare just skip ahead or turn me off because you've heard this preached before, because I promise you I'm going to share this in a way that possibly you've never heard before, but it's going to be the truth of God's Word. So, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible says, God's response to Solomon was, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God said, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and then He promises, I will heal their land. Verse 15, he says, now my eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Verse 16 says, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Of course, we've heard this verse quoted many times, that if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from the wicked ways. God said He would hear from heaven and heal our land. And I do believe that that is a promise from Almighty God. And right now in this season, where we're facing these dangerous days of crisis and calamity, when literally it seems like pestilence or the plague is spreading through the earth and peril is right around the corner, I believe that more than ever we need to do what this Bible is saying, this verse is saying for us. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, repent of every known sin. And I believe that if we'll do that, God can come heal our land. I serve a God who sits on the throne of heaven and His feet is on the coronavirus. And today, you and I have been raised up, if we are believers, to be made to be seated in Him in heavenly places, which means everything that is under His feet is also under our feet. Can you believe that with me? Because I want you to know that I believe that today. I really do. But I believe we need to do our part. I believe if we do our part, God will do His part. You see, what we do in the Word of God a lot of times is, or as Christians, we will quote Scriptures and we don't really understand what's the context is behind the Scripture. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 is actually a very beautiful passage of Scripture that ends with an incredible promise. But 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 actually starts over in about 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and chapter 6. You see, it was the dedication day of the temple. Solomon had finally finished what was in the heart of his father David to build this magnificent edifice. The Bible says about the temple that Solomon built, that God gave the plans to David, that this temple was so beautiful that the most affluent, influential queen in all of the known world at that time, the queen came from the south and wanted to talk to Solomon because he had wisdom and she wanted to ask him hard questions to get the answers to hard questions. Boy, we could stop right there and talk about how the church right now needs to have the answer for the hard questions of our society. The Scripture says that as she came and she rounded over the hills coming into Jerusalem, she looked up and she saw this beautiful edifice of a temple, and the Word of God says that no more breath remained in her. Literally, the queen passed out when she saw the beauty of this temple. The one thing that made this temple so beautiful wasn't just the outside of the building. It was actually the glory of God that was in it. But when you realize, or when you read the Word of God, the Bible says the Queen of Sheba was astounded by many things that took place in the building of this temple and the offering of the sacrifice. I would to God today that we had churches that took the world's breath away. Churches that the presence of God and the beauty and the glory of God's presence was so strong in those churches that literally when the world would come to see it, it would take their breath away. Well, the Queen of Sheba was so impressed by this building. But what she didn't realize is that Solomon had prayed for her to come, as well as the nations of the globe, to come to this temple. Solomon somehow, with his wisdom, knew that the glory of God and the beauty of this building would draw the nations of the world to come in to offer a prayer. And even to this day, I've been to Israel many times, but even to this day, you can turn on a television screen or you can turn on a live view camera that is on the western wall, the prayer wall, and there you will find people 24 hours a day offering a prayer to God. This has been going on for generations and generations. You see, Solomon knew that that was going to happen. So Solomon, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, did something that I've never seen or heard anybody do before. The Word of God says on the dedication day of the temple that Solomon got up on a big platform in front of thousands of people, and that he didn't get up and say, "Hey, I'm the greatest king who's ever lived. Look at this big building that I built." But he did something very unusual, very profound. The scripture says that he knelt down in front of thousands of people, the multitudes out there, and that day he prayed a prayer. And it is the oddest prayer that is recorded in your Bible, because Solomon prayed a prayer for all the prayers that would be prayed in that place. Now I'm going to say that again because I don't want you to miss that. It's very important. Solomon prayed a prayer for all the prayers that would be prayed in that place, the temple. I got to do it one more time because I'm just really not sure that you're getting what he did. Listen to how unusual this prayer is that Solomon prayed. He prayed a prayer for all the prayers that would be prayed in that place. See, Solomon knew by the wisdom of God that once he built this building and the presence of God filled it, that the people from all over the world, when they had a need, they would come to this holy place and they would pray. Now, when you read 2 Chronicles chapter 6, the Bible tells you that in this prayer, he asked God for seven things. Listen to what he said. First of all, in verse number 21, he said, when the people come from all over the world and they pray in this place where your presence is, he said, let this be a place where there's forgiveness. In other words, when they come and they've committed sin and they've lost their way and they've not really been what they should have been for you, when they come into your house and they offer a prayer in this place, let this turn into a place of forgiveness. And then he does something really interesting in verse 22 and 23. He says, when the nations of the earth come into this place, listen to what he said. He said, if anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, hear from heaven and act and judge your servants and bring retribution. And he says, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. In other words, listen to what he says. He says, God, when people come into this house and they offer up a prayer, number one, let this place be a place where forgiveness can be found. But number two, he said, when they come in, there's going to be some people that have some things going on in their life, and they're not just going to need forgiveness, they're going to need mercy. You see, mercy doesn't give you what you deserve. Can I tell you something, friend? All of us deserve judgment. All of us deserve death. But mercy says, no, don't give them death. Instead, give them life. And this was what Solomon said. He said, Lord, there's going to be some messed up, jacked up people who are going to come into your house. And when they come into this house and they ask you to forgive them, give them forgiveness. But not only that, Lord, show them mercy. Now, I don't know about you, my friend, but I'm glad that I serve a God who's merciful to a thousand generations, because you're looking at one old boy right here who needs God to have mercy on him. I know that you feel the same way. God is going to have mercy on you if you cry out to Him as well. All of us need the mercy of God. I don't pray judgment on anybody or on any land or on any people because I believe that all of us need the mercy of Almighty God. Then Solomon prayed a third prayer. He said, Lord, when people come into your house, not only grant them forgiveness and then also give them mercy, but in verse number 24, listen to what he says. He says, if your people Israel are defeated before an enemy. Now listen closely because this is where it gets really heavy. He said, they're defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you and return and confess your name and pray and make supplication before you in this temple. He said, hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people and bring them back to the land. Listen to what he's saying. He's saying, God, they're not only going to need forgiveness, they're not only going to need mercy. He said, but number three, if they offer a prayer to you in this place, he said, would you make this a house of restoration? In other words, God, if an enemy has come in and destroyed their life or come against their life, he said, God, I'm asking you that you would restore everything that the devil has taken from them. Friend, I'm going to ask you a serious question today. I want to know something. Has the enemy taken anything from you? Has the enemy stolen anything from you? Have relationships gone bad? Have you lost money? Is something happened in your life where the enemy has come in like a flood and taken from your life? I want to tell you something today, that today in just a moment, we're getting ready to pray and we're going to take communion together. And let me tell you what God's going to do. He's going to restore everything that the devil has stolen from you. You see, our God is a God of restoration. And there's something you need to know about God and His restorative power. God just doesn't give you back what you lost. But God also believes in restitution. So He doesn't just restore, He brings restitution. Now restitution is compensation for pain and suffering. In other words, if you've lost something, God's not just going to give you back what you lost, but God's going to compensate you for your pain and suffering during the time of loss. Let me tell you what I'm believing for. I'm believing that everything the enemy has tried to do to America and the other nations of the world, that God's not only going to give us back what we lost, but God is going to cause the enemy to have to pay. I believe revival's coming on the heels of this because people are turning their hearts toward God like never before. So listen to what Solomon prayed. He said, God, when people come from around the world into your house and they offer prayer, he said, number one, make this a place of forgiveness. Number two, make this a place of mercy. But number three, let it also be a place of restoration. Now, I like this one right here. Number four, he said, when they come and they pray, he said, make this a place of the harvest. In verse number 26, it says, when the heavens are shut up and there's no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray towards you in this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you've afflicted them, hear from heavens, forgive their sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them to walk in the good way in which they should walk and send rain on the land and give them a harvest. Let me tell you, he says, if they come and pray, turn their life into a wonderful harvest. Turn their lack into prosperity. Turn their burdens into blessing. I believe today that in just a moment when we pray together and we take communion, God is going to turn your lack into luster. I believe that God is going to turn your pain into prosperity, your burdens into blessing. Because when we pray, God is going to hear from heaven. Now let me give you number five because I've got to hurry here. He says, number five, when they come into this house and pray, he said, would you make it a house of protection? I love this. In verse number 28, he says, when there's a famine in the land. Now listen, pestilence or blight or mildew, locust or grasshoppers, when their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, wherever the plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone, by all of your people Israel, when each one knows his own burden, his own grief, and spreads out his hands and his tongue, hear from heaven. In other words, this is so fitting for what we're going through right now. Solomon comes and says, God, if they come to your temple, if they come to your house and they offer a prayer and the enemy has come in and even attacked them with sickness, disease, or even a plague and a pestilence, he says, God, rend the heavens and come down and heal your people, deliver your people, protect your people. So listen to this. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. See, again, Solomon is praying a prayer for all the prayers that would ever be made in this place. He says, Lord, when they come in this place, make it a place of forgiveness. Make it a place of mercy. Make it a place of restoration. Make it a place of harvest. Make it a place of protection. And then in verse 32 and 33, he says, if they come from all over the world, he says, make it a place of equality and diversity. In other words, don't let the rich have favor over the poor, and don't let the white have favor over the black or one nationality over another. He said, no. He said, in this place, in the presence of God, let this be an even playing field for everybody who comes. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you where the ground is level? The ground is level at the foot of the cross for every single human being that is hurting. That's where the ground is level. This is what Solomon prayed. He said, let them all come. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what your status is, doesn't matter if you're rich, you're poor, you're fat, you're skinny, you're black, you're white, you're red. I don't care what side of the tracks you're from. Jesus loves you just like He loves me because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever for everybody who calls upon His name. Now let me give you number seven. Number seven, Solomon said, now I just got to review these. He said, if they come in here and pray, they call upon Your name, God. He says, number one, make this a house of forgiveness. He said, number two, make this a house of mercy. Number three, make it a house of restoration. Number four, make it a house of a harvest. Make it a place of protection. Make it a place of equality and diversity. But then number seven, listen to what he said. He said, when they come and pray, make it a house of victory. I got to read these verses to you, and then we're getting ready to take communion together. Now, I'm encouraging you right now, if you have not posted your prayer request, you need to do it right now because we're getting ready to pray. If you don't have communion, have somebody get up and get some crackers and some juice. I don't care if all you've got is a Diet Coke. We'll pray over it and sanctify it. It's not about the elements. It's about the symbolism and the meaning behind the elements and the spirit of what we're doing. So I'm begging you, partake with us today and post those prayer requests. Listen to verse 34 and 35. He says, when your people go out to battle against their enemies, wherever you send them, when they pray to you toward this city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, hear from heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. And when they sin against you, and there's no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them to their enemy, and they take captive to a land far or near, yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent, make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we've done wrong, we've committed wickedness. He said, when they return to you with all of their hearts, listen, my friend, when they return to you with all of their hearts and with all of their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried captive, pray toward the land which you gave to their fathers, the city that you've chosen, toward the temple which you've built your name. Then hear from heaven. Let me tell you what the seventh request is. He said, Lord, if they come and they've been attacked by an enemy, they've even been taken into a faraway land. He said, Lord, when they come to themselves, do you know what America needs to do right now? America needs to come to themselves. That's the reason we started our broadcast today with that wonderful video that we shared, because we need God to heal our land. Well, we've got to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and listen, turn from our wicked ways. America, hear the voice of the prophet today. You must turn from your wickedness and ask God to forgive you of your mighty sin. I am praying right now that if you've committed sin, that today you would turn your heart toward God and you would ask God for mercy. Now, God makes a promise. He says, if you'll do this, this is what Solomon prayed. He said, God, give them victory. Today, my friend, we need victory in America. I've been so stirred this week that we need victory in America. Please forgive me for getting emotional, but right now what Americans need to do is we need to turn our hearts and our souls back toward the God of our fathers. We need to reach back out. See, the Bible says the nation who forgets God is turned into hell, but a nation who remembers God is blessed and is exalted. And today I'm begging of you that if you have sinned against God, that you right now would turn your hearts toward heaven. Listen, listen. God promises that if we'll turn our hearts and our souls toward Him and we'll offer a prayer to Him, that He'll hear from heaven and that He'll heal our land. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7. See, that was 2 Chronicles chapter 6. But 2 Chronicles chapter 7, what's happening in verse 14, 15, and 16 is God is answering Solomon. The Bible says in verse number 12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and He said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. He said, when I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, when I command the locusts to devour the land or send pestilence among the people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He said, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land.
Thank you for joining us today for the Ideal Life Podcast. Make sure to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. Until next time.